May be seated. The other day I was explaining to a young man why we vote. And I said, you know, we have this right to participate in democracy. We should give thanks for it. We need to exercise that. I said, because we're blessed. We don't have a dictator. We don't have a king. We don't have to live under someone else's thumb. But after singing that song, we do have a king. And no matter who gets elected in this whole thing, we do have a king. King Jesus. His kingdom is going to reign forever, right? And we get to be a part of that, so I'm just thankful for that. So I encourage you to get out on Tuesday to exercise your right to vote. To vote your values. To vote your conscience. Whatever you believe, stand up for what you believe in, right? And that's an important way to do it. Alrighty. Let's start out with our readings.
First reading is from Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Second reading is from Ephesians 4, 31 through 5, verse 2. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Just in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave up himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here ends the lessons.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 21. Last night as I was preparing this, that just sort of came to me. I'm going to start with that, and then 23 I'll pick up with what you see on the screen here. You have heard, or Jesus speaking, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is unanswerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, thank you for your word. May it stir within us. May it take root within us. May it grow that we can bear fruit in your name to your glory. Amen. All right, we've been working through Romans 12, and we got, three more installments. We've been going basically one verse at a time, sometimes two verses at a time. If the theme continues, we'll see that next Sunday. And it's been good. It's been interesting. It's long been my favorite chapter, perhaps, of the Bible right there. And I've always wanted to preach through it one verse at a time. And here I'm getting the chance to do so. Hey, thanks, God. But it's so full of advice to us. Paul's giving advice not only to the people in Rome of that day, but to us as well. I don't know that he really realized that 2,000 years later we'd be taking his advice. You go, wow. So when I write a letter to someone, is there a chance that it could affect someone years down the road? You never know. And these days, not just letters, but maybe you're making a TikTok or a Snapchat or a YouTube video or something like that. That endures, doesn't it? So be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. But it could go on if it's something good to inspire others years down the road. Maybe you've got maybe a great-great-great-great-grandchild or something that's doing a history, family history project, and they stumble across this. Hey, this is my great-great-great-great-grandma or grandpa, and this is what they're saying. May what we say represent Christ, of course. But so Paul had written this down. And again, it's just full of advice. You want to know how to live as a Christian? Turn to chapter 12 of Romans. Read through it carefully, thoughtfully. It's going to tell you how to live as a Christian. So our verse for today then. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. Now that's easy with some people and sort of a tall order with others. We all know some people that are hard to get along with. There was that book that was written, How to Get Along with Difficult People. I didn't consult that in writing this, okay? I consulted Scripture, which to me is the highest authority, of course. So we all know these people that are hard to get along with. And here it says to get along with everyone. Everyone, God? Yes. At least as far as it depends on you, right? Because there's three parts of this. That last part, part C, live at peace with everyone. But we had part A, which said, if it is possible, as far as, if it is possible, and then part B, as far as it depends on you, do your part, live at peace with everyone. So it's not always going to be possible, Paul's telling us. But we get to do our part. And as always, we get to represent God. We are Christ's ambassadors. What we say and what we do should reflect him. Again, what would Jesus do in any situation? Let us strive to do the same. We're not going to be perfect, of course, but we're going to try. We're going to try. Now, these people that are difficult to get along with, and I'm sure you could probably call up one or two from your past or maybe even your present. You can think of a person that's just, dang it, it's hard to get along with them. Nothing's ever right. You know, just, and maybe you have to work alongside them or something. Yeah, that can be a tough one. Maybe you're working under them. That could be tougher yet. If you ever had a boss or a foreman or something like that, that's hard to work under. That makes for a miserable existence. I'm sort of blessed here. I'm working for God. He's like the best. but we all work for God as well. So that, and first and foremost, right? That's more important than your earthly job, working for him. And he's the best boss by far. Nothing wrong with him. He's all love. He will correct us at times. But did we deserve it? If God's correcting us, yes, we deserved it, okay? We can try to whine our way out of it, something like that. We deserve it. Just own up to it, okay? Take ownership. Yeah, so I always tell the kids. Okay, but why are these people that way, the ones that are just almost impossible to get along with? And you know, maybe they've had a really bad upbringing. That's one possibility. We've worked with many kids that have suffered abuse and neglect, and it changes things. They don't trust people. And they don't always treat others well. Maybe that's this person's history. There's got to be some reason why they are the way they are. They weren't raised in a Christian family, a good chance of that. They never had the good reinforced. Who knows? So maybe they need healing. And if we take that into consideration, that can help us. We can certainly pray for the person, and we can create a healthy environment as much as we can, create a healthy environment, to help them heal, to... When you see them doing something good, point that out, right? Don't point out all the bad things all the time. Nobody likes that. But when you see them doing something good, I know that those of you out there that have been teachers, you've had some of those students where you point out when they do something good, right? And Beth working one-on-one with them a lot of that too. You celebrate the victories, right? And by pointing out what they did as a positive, you're reinforcing them, and that's just a great thing. So that's one thing you can do. Don't overdo it, but just where it's earned or where it's appropriate, point out, reinforce the positive. But getting along with these people, it's not always possible. Again, that's what Paul's telling us. So as much as it depends on you, do your part, okay? Sometimes all you can do is pray for them. We can't change other people, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can. So we pray that they would have a change of heart and a change of life as a result. And be an example, right? Another thing we realize, I suppose, if we look at it, is that always all their fault, none of our fault, or 100-0? Or is it sometimes a 50-50? Maybe it's 90-10, but do we have a part in it? Many times, yes. And that's sort of a humbling thing. You got to remember that, hey, we're not perfect either. None of us is. Jesus was, and Jesus still is. But none of us are, and that's why we need Jesus. We're not good enough in God's eyes just on what we've done. So we can do our part, realize that it's not, you know, we have a stake in this as well, but still not always possible. The other thing, of course, we can do is have patience. To have patience. Patience and peace, I think, are sort of inextricably linked. If you have patience, you're going to have more peace. Peace within can lead to peace around. So to have peace with these difficult people, if you're operating from a position of peace, where you have peace within, that allows you to relate to them better, to set that example, to be the ambassador. So seek peace. Do your part. Sometimes you got to let it be their problem. I've done everything I can. I'm just going to let it be your problem. I'm not going to take part in it. But the one thing that could really solve it is forgiveness. When there's a division, when there's a disagreement, when there's people at odds, forgiveness can heal. Now, it's two-sided forgiveness is great. When both people say, okay, I'm sorry, forgive me. Sometimes the other person's not willing to, and that's the type of person that Paul's talking about here, perhaps. But we can always forgive on our end, and then we can have peace. That peace can yield healing, right? So be willing to forgive, and that's what Paul writes to the Ephesians here. He had similar advice to them, but a key piece of it, as we're going to see, is forgiveness. So when he's writing to the people of Ephesus in chapter 4 here, we've seen, first of all, he's saying, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. These are all negatives. If someone's being controlled by that way of thinking, if someone's being controlled by that way of life, where they're all about slander and brawling and not getting along, yeah, not good. And he tells them to get rid of it. To get rid of it, you got to get peace within. Again, that peace figures prominently into this. But someone controlled by that, those things, it'll lead to a wrong response in interpersonal relationships. And again, that's what this was about, interpersonal relationships, getting along with others. And if they're full of bitterness, rage, and anger, that's going to be really hard for them to get along with anyone. And someone similar to them, if you've got two people that are controlled by bitterness, rage, and anger, they're not going to get along with each other, much less anybody else, but it's just bad. And they will not respond appropriately, but forgiveness, can that heal bitterness? Yes. Can forgiveness heal rage and anger? It can. For that, we have to be willing to admit our part, willing to seek forgiveness, but also willing to forgive. Also willing to forgive. Alrighty, he goes on to write, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So being kind and compassionate, hey, wonderful. That's how we ought to respond as Christians. Not always easy, especially when your hackles are up. But to be kind and compassionate. There's a place for anger. There's a time for it. Even Jesus in the temple, right? He had that righteous anger. There is a time and a place, but it has to be righteous anger. It has to be in doing what's right. He had to get the point across, and he did. He could have just been kind and compassionate to all the shopkeepers. Oh, it's okay that you're taking advantage of God's temple. It's okay that you're profiting off of this. We're going to love you anyway. Okay. Would that change anything? No. He got angry, but it was justified. Again, there's a time and a place where the anger is justified. Not only, you know, not just when we're offended, but when God is offended, okay? When they're doing things against God, we have to sometimes get the point across. But forgiveness, again, it's a big thing with God. He's forgiven us. He's willing to forgive everything we've done. If we turn to Him, repent, admit it, and seek to change, He's willing to take it as far as the east is from the west, to remove it from us. And that's the reminder here. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, doing your part, just as in Christ God forgave you. And there's the humbling part. How much has God forgiven you? How much is He willing to forgive you? Everything. When Jesus was talking to His disciples one time, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Told them to pray like this. And He gets to that part about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We all say the words. Do we always love them out? Again, humbling to remember, humbling to think about. We're seeking His forgiveness, but we have to be willing to forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, as we are doing it, okay, and to the same degree perhaps too, for those that trespass against us. We have a chance to respond in several different ways when people trespass against us. It should be forgiveness. Be willing to let it go. If something is forgiven, you're free of it, right? You're free of it. Should we go back and pick it up again? Do we just store it away for later? We can, oh, I could bring this up later on and get back at that person or something. You know, years later, perhaps, or something. No. When something's forgiven, it's totally healed. It's gone. You can't pick it up again. You shouldn't even want to pick it up again. Because it's done with. In God's eyes, it should also be done with in our human eyes. So don't be dredging stuff up from the past, right? Especially if it's been healed, if it's been forgiven. Let it be that way. Don't open up old wounds. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do, right? And that's what the next verse is here. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In those situations, you know, would Jesus respond with righteous anger occasionally? Other times, would he seek reconciliation and forgiveness? Probably the majority of the time. Now we want to stand firm for what is right. In seeking reconciliation and forgiveness, we should not go against what's in God's word. We stand for it. And when we correct others, it should be lovingly. And perhaps admitting our part in it too. That helps a lot. You know, hey, I'm not perfect either, but I just need to share this with you or tell you this, that you know there's been an offense here or something, and I want to forgive it. I want to heal it. Again, we have a part in it typically, so remember that. But this seeking resolution, this smoothing of things over, this healing, there we go, better than smoothing over, healing, because if something is totally healed, it's not there anymore. It's gone. And don't open old wounds, just let them be healed. The importance of that was shown in the gospel today. Chapter 5 of Matthew, you got the Sermon on the Mount, it's full of so much good stuff here that Jesus is imparting to those around him. But he gets to this part. Again, it's about dealing with others. You heard it said, do not murder. Of course. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. So yeah, it's wrong to kill people. I don't care if they're born, I don't care if they're unborn. Especially the innocent. You know, there's a time and a place, I suppose, capital punishment for those that are guilty of horrendous things. And even the Old Testament talked about that, but yeah, don't kill the innocent, for sure. Don't murder. That's the difference between killing and murder, right? Killing, you know, in wars and things like that, it's all full of that in here, but murder is a whole different deal. Knowingly doing something and against someone who's innocent, that's bad news. So don't murder, absolutely. You'll be subject to judgment. I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. So getting angry, it's about the same thing as murdering, you say. It's about the same degree. If you say to your brother, you fool, you'll be in danger of the fire of hell. Okay, so if there is a disagreement, then how do we handle it? How do we smooth it over? We forgive. We do our part as much as possible. We have patience. We want the best for the other person. We pray for them. We strive to help them as much as they'll accept it, in a nice way, of course, the helping. But the importance of it is shown here. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled. Smooth it over, heal it, right? Then come off your gift. Okay, this is just, imagine someone going to the altar, okay, I got my gift. And yeah, but that we're not in the context of the times. This is a big deal. All righty? The sacrifices, they were commanded by God. You go back in the Old Testament. This is God's commands. This is a serious deal to be sacrificing something. Very serious. This is really high in the priorities. And that's what Jesus is stressing here, that this is even more important than sacrificing to God, to smooth things over with someone else, to be reconciled. The importance of this is extremely high in God's eyes. He wants us to get along with others. to do your part as much as is possible with you. Seek peace, reconciliation with others. If we can head it off at the pass before it becomes something even bigger, that's wonderful. Just by, you know, forgiving, working through something, doing our part. If it can be avoided completely, it's better than dealing with the aftermath, right? Because, well, it can lead to some really big deals. But if it can be avoided through a simple act of forgiveness and kindness, and as much as possible, as it said, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do your part. Do your part. Living at peace with others and also at peace with yourself. Now, forgiveness is a whole other sermon or sermon series, of course. There's so much to it. But sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. I think we've all experienced that. Or you can beat yourself up over something you could have done, something you should have done, something you would have done. The old woulda, coulda, shouldas. And the enemy could just, start that little bit of a flame in you, and you give it fuel and let it feed, and it's not a good thing. So healing, forgiveness, patience, kindness, compassion, these types of things, what we should strive to do. It's not always going to be possible. That's what Paul said there, to heal that relationship, but we do our part. At least we can have peace within that. Okay, we do our part. We represent God faithfully, do our part. And, turn it over. Don't dig it back up. So let us strive to live at peace with others and also at peace with yourself. Let us strive to forgive, to make amends, to show kindness and compassion, to do the Christian thing. Amen.